We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God, Lauren LaRosa. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. We got Marlon Wayans.
Gang, gang.
Marlon Wayans is looking at the wall like,
I'm looking at the wall because I'm like, I don't see the Wayanses.
So I thought you were up there.
No, that's Martin Lawrence.
He's going to be on that
That's
wall.
Will Smith. When? You've been saying that last time. It's been 2 years.
Hey, man.
Show him the picture.
They don't even have
y'all gaslighting me. You got little ass Kevin Hart there.
Show him the picture.
Looking like
this is what this wall is supposed to be. I don't know why it's taking so long, but this is what he got you.
They got me as Loke Dog and a Loke Dog anime. Not even a handsome picture of me. Ain't that something? Y'all made Kevin Hart tall, and y'all can't get a handsome
Kevin
picture of me?
His feet's not even touching the ground.
He's sitting on a chair.
He has a grown-ass face. Kevin look in the face like he should be 6'5".
He do look tall in the face. Man, this is the one thing about you, Marlon. You doing another comedy special, man. You on a run like Lil Wayne was with music, or Gucci Man was with mixtapes, man.
I feel like, you know, I feel like, I feel like Nas and Busta. Mm. I feel like, oh, the second half. Now this is when you really come into your own. First 30 years, you learning. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, oh, I'm executing. I don't have to rehearse special for 2 years to get to know the special.
Wow.
I ain't got to take that long to write it. I've written movies since I was 17 years old. So writing is just something I do. So I know how to write a movie. Mm-hmm. I can remember a script. So when I'm writing stand-up, I don't even write it down no more. I just write it in my head, and I put it away in the catalog inside my head, like tapes. And now I just know, and I make it. Things happen. I go, this is what God wants me to do, and I do a special. So I'm doing my fourth special.
Mm-hmm. Good grief.
Fourth special, Good Grief, mm-hmm. at the Apollo, sold mm-hmm. out, two shows. Yeah, mama, we did it! I think I was going to sell two shows in Harlem. Times are still rough in Harlem. Everywhere else, the world is thriving. Harlem's
tough.
Gentrification stopped in Harlem. They was like, ah, oh, ain't gonna work here. Yo, do that shit other places. We like regular coffee. We don't want no Starbucks. So sold out two shows at Harlem. And then, yeah, man, I'm in Nyack tonight. And then after that, I'm going to be, where am I next week, Craig? Oh, New Year's, I'm going to be in Atlanta. I got two shows at the Roxy Theater. New Year's, get your tickets. I have a brand new set. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do the set at the Apollo. Mm-hmm. I'm going to retire this set. I don't keep doing it until the special comes out. Mm-hmm. I retire the set the night that I do it. Good night. That's my goodbye to that set.
You were just up here 6 months ago with a new set. It's another new set?
I'm a monster.
So why is it called Good Grief?
Because it's about how I'm dealing with grief and what's good about grief. And how you could, it's either bad grief or good grief. I've lost 57 people I loved in the last 3 years, but I've been through it. I've been at rock bottom. I've been in darkness. I've been in dark times. People don't know what I've been feeling. They don't know the pain that I've been going through and what's happening in my life, because I always find my smiles. But when you lose 57 people that you love.
57?
57.
Damn. Wow.
57. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, people you knew. Like, I'm talking about people I love, like John Witherspoon, my mom, my dad. And I take the grief and I go, okay, God got me here for a reason. And so I make people smile with the things that I'm hurting with, and then I heal. And I want people to know that you can heal too. Find the funny. I like the fact that y'all laugh about your situation. You're supposed to. Because without that, man, it's hard to just be in it. When you get laughs, it make you come out of your own funk. And I've learned that the audience is there. They're my therapist. I've been staying on a stage the past 3 years because every time they laugh, I feel like I'm getting oxygen. It lets me know that I'm alive. People, it's okay to laugh and everything's gonna be okay. And so it's called Good Grief, and it's dope.
So it's
dedication to my mom and dad.
I was gonna say it's intentional to do it in Harlem.
Yeah. My mom and dad is born and raised in Harlem.
Wow.
My mother actually performed at the Apollo with her sister's amateur night, and they won with the Green Sisters. They won two times in a row. So I wanted to return to the most famous stage, to the greatest city that raised the two greatest people I know, and do my best show and dedicate it to them in their memory.
Wow. How's preparation for this show gonna be different with all of that? You know what I mean?
No, it's the same. Everything's the same. When you do your reps, everything's the same. I'm not tripping. I'm not putting too much on it. I know I'm going to be a little bit more emotional when it's done. You know, I'm going to feel like Michael Jordan when he had that, when his pop passed and he was holding that trophy and crying on the floor.
Right.
I'm going to feel like that because there's a victory in honoring your parents. And I had them with me for so long. And being able to talk about them every day on stage was great, but also hard. So retiring that is also retiring some of the memory of them.
Right.
And it's going to be an emotional night. I'm going to have a lot of family in the house. But this set is crazy.
I was going to ask.
It's funny. It got heart. It's dark. It's special. If it was whack, I would tell y'all if I feel like it was garbage. If I ever feel like it's garbage. But then again, as artists, we never think it's garbage.
I was going to say, you still going to stage if you thought it was garbage?
I wouldn't put it out. I wouldn't do a special.
Oh, okay.
I'm not rushing to do a special for what? I'm doing specials when it's special. And I'm doing specials because I'm not going to sit on material for 5 years doing the same set. When I go to your city, I want you to know, yo, he got a brand new set. Every time I go to your city, which is once a year, he got a brand new set. That's the kind of artist I want to be. I want to drop album after album after album. Like you said, like Lil Wayne, like it's an album. That's what a comedy show, it's an album. So I'm dropping albums and I want people to see my progression from Wokish to You Know What It Is to God Loves Me to Good Grief. Every year you're going to see my progression as an artist, and then one day you're like, yo, where did he come from? I've been here. Y'all just discovered me.
I was going to ask, is there any pressure? Because since it is so close to your heart about your family, you got family members coming, and I'm sure the closest people that will critique you the most is your family members.
No. I think my brothers trust that I do the work, right? It was one thing when they were older and when I was younger and they was trying to protect me and they didn't know, do you know what you're stepping into? But I think after God Loves Me, the last special about the slap, about, you know, Chris Rock and Jada and Will, after they saw that, that was the first time in 30 years that my brothers was like, Damon said to Keenan, he said, yo, I saw Marlon's stand-up. He said, what you think? He said, it was brilliant.
that little ugly nigga is on to something. He said, why? It's because I never seen it done. I never seen somebody take one little stupid topic and do a whole hour about it, but it wasn't about them, it was about him. I said, and Keenan saw it, he said, okay, let me see. Then Keenan saw it, he goes, I saw your special. And Damon was right. It was brilliant. I'm proud of you. You changed the game. Wow. And from there, that gave me a level of confidence. Like, okay, I know not their process or their own. You discover your own process. You come into your own. I wanted to break the mold so that I found what is Marlon. I have my own identity as far as what I'm doing in terms of specials and what my skill set is. Mm-hmm. I don't look at the next man. Right. I don't want to do what anybody's doing, what none of my peers or the people before me. I just want to do the best Marlon that I can. And the Marlon, that's so many different levels because I'm an actor, I'm a writer, I'm a producer. I do drama, I do comedy, I do characters. So I just be Marlon. And I feel like these are my best years. People have been watching me for 30 years. It's hard to see somebody grow when they're in your house every day.
Where?
It's when they go away and you shot up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The weird part for me is people been watching me grow for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And now I'm finally at that place where I feel like I'm that dude.
I'm shocked that you ain't milking it. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, you got this special Good Grief. You could tour that for 2 years. You could have toured any of these specials for 2 years, got paid like a motherfucker, and then did the special.
Yeah, but does that make me a great artist?
Mm.
Or does it make me a better artist and a better writer if I let material be disposable and create from what is new? I can't hold on. You can't hoard material. You can't hoard life. Life brings you so much drama every day. I only got that much storage space. So I want to hurry up and talk about this because I got so many other things to talk about.
Right.
There's so many. I got a great special about my brothers that I want to do. I got a Call Ugly Baby. I know my next three specials. I got a special.
Wait.
It's called Ugly Baby.
You can't just skid over that. Like, we got.
Who's the ugly
please
baby?
You?
Me. I was an ugly ass baby. That's made my production company's Ugly Baby Productions because I was an ugly ass baby.
Who
Sean was
that?
A pretty baby.
Okay.
I was ugly as fuck. Sean, me and Sean used to have a two banger stroller. And when they see Sean, they'd be like, oh, that baby's so beautiful. I want one. And then I would move and they go, oh my God, what is that? I think it's the afterbirth.
Damn.
Wearing Oshkosh.
Damn.
And then,
damn.
I was ugly baby. So I talk about me being the youngest of all my brothers and the journey of being the young Prince of Kings. It's a beautiful hour and a dedication and a roast and toast of my brothers. I'm going to do that one after. See, I go, what's my story? And then I'm going to do that one. That's after I do my next one, which is going to be either probably called Skittles or Rainbow Child. And it's about.
What?
Yes.
Wait, can we, before you go there, how long were you ugly for?
So, how long were you ugly for?
The ugly baby.
You can't rinse all the ugly off you, you know? I got most of it away, you know?
It's like middle school, not ugly.
I had a weird stage in middle school when your teeth get big and you start looking like a rabbit and your arms
are long. So ugly baby, ugly at the first lockers.
I was ugly as a baby. Then I got cute at like six. I was a bad little 6 year old. Like, I was so pretty at 6 year old. I'm surprised. Somebody, I swear, I was, you know what I mean?
He be going too far.
Like one time I was watching Oprah and I was watching Tyler. And Tyler was talking about.
Yo, his documentary that's coming out, what he does is he talks about these dark things in his life and then shows how he did it in Madea movies.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so when people see the doc, they're going to get it. They're like, oh.
Brilliant. That's what I do with stand-up. Yep. I take the worst things. I used to go, what's funny about pop culture? What's funny about race? What's funny? That was woke-ish. That was the first time I'm telling the joke. I'm learning how to tell jokes. And then, and you know what it is, I was like, I'm going to tell some jokes, but I'm going to tell some truth. And I talked about me getting caught cheating on a boat because that happened and it messed my family up. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what's funny about that? And so that show grew into that. And then the third one was like the slap. That wasn't about Chris, Will, and Jada. That was about my journey knowing all of them and all the painful things that I went through in that situation, and that God really is always an individual experience for you. Whatever happens in the world is really happening for you as an individual.
You never wanted to go back to the slap now that she wrote the book, because I'm sure there's more material.
I could do 4 more hours on it after that tour she did. But here's the thing.
Her book was amazing, though. She talks about your brother in the book a lot, Keenan.
Keenan was dope.
Yeah.
My family has been nothing but love and positivity.
Absolutely.
And Keenan used to always tell her how great she could be. And Keenan had sit-downs with J-Lo. Why do you think
are doing what we do, because Keenan put in our head, this is what you can do if you work toward it.
Keenan kept her out of jail.
Undeniable force of nature. He did. Keenan's that dude.
Yeah. Have they reached out?
And Jada is a friend, and Will is a friend. And Jada's more of my friend than Will, but I feel like this. Everybody mind your business. Everybody always in everybody's business. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, social media has allowed people to creep into your business. Mm-hmm. That's not your fucking business. Mm-hmm. My life ain't your business. You know what I mean? Like, it's really not. I get, my jokes is your business. What I let you see is my mm-hmm. business. But that's their marriage. Whatever they choose mm-hmm. for their marriage, and whatever they want to share, great. But it's not for us to watch their life mm-hmm. like TV. This is people's lives. Mm-hmm. So I'm more, and I think I did something right when I did my special, because I didn't get no calls from Will. Mm-hmm. I didn't get no calls from Jada. I didn't get no calls from Chris. And Jada just did this tour. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear, she had nothing.
She ain't dragging.
No, mm-hmm. why? Because Jada knows I love her. Jada knows I came from love, but she also knows that nigga crazy. Marlon just, he off. He just gonna say what he gonna say, but it's always with love. So you it's not about, I wasn't being hateful or angry or bitter. I was just telling funny truths.
Ugly Babies might be hard for you to do because the brothers got to be there, right? So Keenan got to be there, Damon got to be there, Sean got to be there.
I'm going to roast all them niggas.
That's not pressure? Them like actually sitting there watching you perform?
No, they ain't going to be there. I hope we do a tour together and I get to do my set with them there.
Got you.
So, I mean, they know I love them. Mm-hmm. And when I do it, they know it's love. It's going to be truth. It's going to be funny, but it's going to be love. And then Skittles or Rainbow Child is about my daughter. I have a daughter that transition into a son. My daughter Amai is now Kai.
Truthful.
And so so I talk about the transition, mm-hmm. not her transition, their transition, but my transition as a parent going from ignorance and denial to complete unconditional love and acceptance.
Got you.
And I think there's a lot of parents out there that need to have that message. And I know I'm dealing with it. It was a very painful situation for me, mm-hmm. but man, it's one of the best, funniest hours I probably could ever imagine.
I can't see your child coming up to you and asking you, because you joke too much. So I can see a child say, "Dad, I'm thinking of transitioning," and I could just see you take nothing serious.
I always joke. They know. I told my daughter, I said, "Nigga, you transitioning to your brother. You look just like him."
See,
I can't tell the difference between her and Sean. Like, I swear to God.
What's the age?
23 and 21.
Oh, so
but they're brilliant. Okay. They don't change. Brilliant. Most well-read. The smartest Wayans. Smartest. Hands down. This. My dude, my nigga, I'm still working on the program.
I was about to ask you, because five seconds ago you had changed.
That covers it all.
They
let me, you know, they know. They know I love her. They see me try, and they're like, I'm happy.
It's
just
funny
when I say they. I'm like,
which one you talking about?
But I gotta respect their wishes, right? And that takes, as a parent, I just want my kids to be free. Mm-hmm. I want them to be free in spirit, free in thought, free to be themselves. The more you know yourself, the more you can govern yourself, the more you live your truth, the happier your existence. So if they can't get that in the household with their father and their mother, mm-hmm. how the fuck do I send them out into the world mm-hmm. to with that kind of confidence?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so proud of them for being them. But that don't mean that they ain't got jokes.
Are they ready for that?
Do they approve? Yeah, they got to approve the content.
Okay, okay. I did the set in front of, I went this thing for William Morris. And it was all these world leaders. It was like people like it was part of the government, and mm-hmm. people that five star generals, and it was like some CIA
set?
There was people there. Like if I bombed,
oh god,
nigga, I would have been dead. They would have killed me. You would have mm-hmm. found my body. They would have poisoned me there. It was that big of a crowd, and I felt like I want to do this set right here because it's important to me. What's important to me? Comedy. What's important to me? My children. What do I love? And what's important is change. And so all you world leaders that's having this summit, I want you to think about these people and this synapse and how to be inclusive of this next generation. Because I see a lot of gray hair here, but these kids that we dealing with, they're different.
Right.
And we can't have our old ways and expect to do new things.
That's facts.
So please embrace the new.
When you first said that, the first thing I thought of was like, oh my God, you say the wrong thing. And it's like, woo, what's going to happen next? But thinking about it the way you just put it, we need comedians to be able to do that type of thing.
Absolutely.
Because laughter kind of opens up conversations. But people, you know, people are scared to, because I just got scared for you when you just said it. Like, I wasn't even there watching it. But literally listening to you, I'm like, people will take things, they will twist things, they will misinterpret things. And you got world leaders in the room and all that stuff. But how do you think comedy gets back to that?
I think it takes people like me.
It is not back. People are still
scared. People like Chappelle. People like, you know, Chris. You know, people that don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I said it. I meant it. If you cancel me, good. I didn't want your ass at my show anyway. Because real ones don't cancel you. The people, when you say it, the people that love you, they come into your show and they bring in a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So this cancel culture started when social media started, right? Social media is not real people. These are bots from other countries sitting behind computers taking away our first right as Americans, which is freedom of speech. They're attacking us. And we're so stupid that we pick up on it and the media picks up on it and then they make this a story and then now the corporations get scared and the people that's the sponsors get scared and then they want to take away your job, my job, his. They want to take away our job because they want to take away our mouthpiece because they want to kill our freedom of speech. And we are all stupid sheep that are following this damn thing. And I'm just like, yo, fuck that. I'm going to say what I got to say because I know I'm saying it with love. I miss the 70s when you could just say, I like mild racism. I do.
I
love when a Puerto Rican talks bad about a Dominican. It makes my day. I like when they call them negrito sucio. Yes, because they are niggas.
It does feel like the world was a better place. That's, to me, when everybody was more free with their speech, the world seemed like a better place.
Yes.
I think everybody bullshitting each other now.
I agree. 90s, everybody was
scared.
Yeah.
I say take it back to the block, man, and let's get back to laughing. And I have a bit in my set that I'm going to do. It's dark. I have some dark jokes, but it's okay because I feel like I'd say one day a dark joke is going to save your life because you're going to be in a bad place in your life, and the only way to get out of it is to look at it and find humor and laugh your way out of it because depression is real, you know, and I look at when Will slapped Chris. I got scared.
Why?
Because I seen somebody snap.
Oh,
I know mental issues, mental illness. You put the world on you. Check on your strong friends. Check on your strong friends. Mm-hmm. That was a snap moment. I was like, oh.
He ain't laughed in a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we should be concerned instead of frying people. It's like, whoa. Hey, dude, are you good?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't. People go through things and we put so much on us, but you don't know how I'm feeling inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And sometimes, were you joking with him? Yo, you be like, not now, but part of you is like, yeah, that's good. I need that. I need that.
He don't that's the problem.
He's relentless. No way. That nigga gonna have a scandal soon. He gonna have him a scandal. He doing so far, so good.
I'm proud of you. I had a million.
Nah, I need you to do something dark. I need something dark. Come on now. You and these white collar crimes. I need some dark shit. Come on, your name's Charlemagne. You gonna do some gang. Shoot somebody, nigga.
Now, what about when you got into the situation at United Airlines? Oh, where's the humor in that?
Them niggas.
He said you like a little bit of mild racism.
But it was. But see, that was targeting, right? If I'm a first class customer, I went on the plane. I was minding my business. Mm-hmm. I had a hat on, so he didn't know it was me. You know, I was minding my business. I had my three bags. One was empty. Because just in case, I get an asshole like him that goes, you got to put that bag with that bag. Or I use that bag to take my clothes when I'm going from show to the hotel. So he's like, he had three bags. He's like, you can't come on here with three bags. I said, listen, I'm first class. He goes, I don't care what class you're in. You can't come on with those three bags. I said, okay, cool. She goes, you're gonna have to condense those. So I took the bag. I complied. It's all on video. I complied. I said, cool. I said, and then he looks at the bag. He goes, I said, now it's two bags. He goes, yeah, well, now that bag looks a little big. We're gonna have to check that. I looked at this nigga, I said, I looked at my ticket. I said, see, now you just fucking with me. I grabbed my ticket and I walked on the plane. He tried to jump on my back. I just went like this. Yeah, and he fell off to the ground looking silly and goofy. And I went on the plane.
He tried to jump on your back?
Tried to jump on my back. And I just was like, whatever. And I didn't push nothing. He tried to say I assaulted him. But the cops was like,
the police didn't cite that, though.
Yeah, they was like, this is not, sir, for your, clearly, this is not assault.
But he watched the video and all that.
Yeah, we watched the video. But they went and they got me off the plane. I didn't make no funk, no nothing. They, can I talk to you, sir? Sure, I complied. I talked to them and they was like, you know, he wants to press a charge. And I'm like, how does he get to press charges on me when I didn't do anything? He was messing with me and I was being harassed. And so I didn't like it. And so what I did was I used my mouthpiece. I used my social media to be like, yo, this is unfair. Mm-hmm. And they watched the footage. And the Denver City District Attorney, they saw it. And they was like, yeah, this is nonsense. They dismissed the case. United owes me some compensation because their human resources called me up and tried to defend their policy. Well, you know you can't have three bags. Bitch, I didn't have three bags. I condensed it to two. You can't, I said, what happened when the customer is always right?
That's right.
I said, y'all treat me like I did something bad. And I have not gotten compensation. And I'm like, yo, I got white on them. I was like, I'm gonna write a letter to the CEO. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna DM the CEO. Dear Mr. United Airlines.
But even so, after they realized who you
were. He didn't DM me back, but you know, it's cool.
They still didn't like what do you, so I know that in the filing that you recently filed, you talked about like all there's arrows pointed to all the white people that were able to get on the plane before you were able to, right?
With three bags.
Exactly, right? In your filing. What are you looking for from this? Like, what's justice for you in this situation? Like,
I don't know something. First of all, they made me miss a show. Two shows.
Damn.
And I hate that. And I mean, there was a lot of disgruntled fans. And I get sad for them. I'm like, you know, whoever missed that show, y'all need to go send those people on a free trip somewhere. Mm-hmm. You need to gather all those people up. It was only like, I don't know, 700 people. Gather those people up and give them free vouchers somewhere. That's first and foremost. And then, I don't know, we'll talk about me. Y'all owe me some money, and I should be first class for life. They should give me a seat on every plane.
Come all the way.
It better not be in the back of the damn first class. I want the, not, I'm not the first,
not
either.
The first one.
Then your feet be all scrunched up. I hate that.
Why
do they even do that?
Yeah, why do they do that in first class?
I hate that. Makes sense. I like the, so when I sit first class up in that, I put my feet on the wall. And then, but I feel real suspect doing that. And the thing about, it's uncomfortable. Skittles as fuck. And then, I mean, they owe me some compensation. They owe me some talk. It was unfair, and it's unfortunate. I stopped dragging the airline, and then they just kept getting into trouble by themselves. So I just, I hope it gets remedied. I'm not trying to go to war. I go to war for what's right, and that was definitely wrong, and I stood up for myself. You know, I'm not a troublemaker. No, I talk shit. Yeah. I'm not a troublemaker. I don't get in trouble. I'm not that dude. I don't get rowdy. If I get in a fight, I want you to know I really felt threatened. I really felt threatened because I know how to fight.
You look like you bulked up too, man.
I know how to fight. Yeah. I do my Muay Thai. I can throw. So I'm only gonna do it if I feel threatened, or if you're feeling like my family's threatened. Other than that, or you hit me. Now we got to fight. But other than that, I could walk away, man. I'd rather shake your hand and keep it love. Yo, hey, man, it's all good. My bad. I didn't mean to step on your Jordans. Hop here. I'll buy you a new one. Let's go.
By the way, you was here over the summer, Marlon. You ain't sweat one time. But now it's the fall and you sweating. I don't understand.
It's this room. It's the hot seat. Y'all be asking. This woman asked me, Angela, she asked me all these damn.
It's Lauren LaRosa.
I'm sorry, but.
And I'm asking you
about
the
case. You asked me all these questions about United Airlines.
And the
white man. And they in the air. What if they want to crash my plane? You know what I mean?
No, I get nervous. The case.
And then you asked me about Skittles. I know, baby. I'm joking.
I was breaking the stories.
You said Angela, she. Like that's not her pronoun. You respecting her pronoun or something.
No, but I asked you about these because
your hands is lotiony. They're good.
It's a good lotion too. I'll
put. I'm proud of you. Yeah, because sometimes maybe like lotiony but dry. Hers is like really nice.
It's a good temperature moisture too. Yeah, but no, I was asking about that because
Nivea.
No, it's not. It's a little
Palmer's cocoa butter. I'm sorry.
Oh my god. I was saying that I was asking about this because when the
story ladies,
first
if your
broke,
man,
oh God,
I ain't fucking with you, have dry hands, and he's in your presence, you don't love that nigga.
Yeah, no, all. That means he works hard.
You ain't gonna be like, boo, come here and get some lotion off your hands and put it on this part of his hand. If
oh,
you
he,
are
I'm
sitting
not dating
there with
nobody
your lady,
that's ashy.
You don't know.
And no, I'm not dating nobody that ashy.
She from Delaware. I don't believe that.
First of all,
I date people some sometimes with ugly feet. I just make them wear socks.
No.
When we do it, wear socks. It's all good.
The whole time?
I don't want to see them feet.
Marlon Wayans, man.
I wouldn't say check him out this weekend, but the shows are sold out. So
what you gonna do?
Oh, no, I'm gonna be New Year's. I'm gonna be in Atlanta,
Roxy,
at the Roxy. Mm-hmm. Come rock with me, and then I'm gonna be in Portland on December, I think 17th. I'm at a club in Portland, and nobody got any information. Where we
just
at?
Go to MarlonWayansOfficial.com.
Yeah, MarlonWayansOfficial.com, and for more information, Good Grief will be out Mother's Day on Amazon. And
and it's releasing on Mother's Day.
Wow. Yeah, I thank y'all audience for rocking with me. I promise you, y'all watch me for 30 years. My best years are ahead of me. I've been a star 30 years, superstardom. We gonna sell out these stadiums. That's what we trying to do. Let's go.
From well, ladies and gentlemen,
I got parents lifting me.
And we appreciate you. You're a good brother. People don't know, but you're a good
I love you, my guy.
Yeah, we ain't mean to hot seat you. And it's we ain't mean to hot seat you.
No, you good. It's every time I'm on here. He knows. Because I don't know what he going to say. He got old beef and issues with me.
No, I don't.
Ever
man.
Since I he called healed. You multicolored, you got beef and issues with me.
What'd you call him?
He started. Was I minding my business?
You was minding your business.
You started. Joe Budden started too. I got to go on his show. He started with
what
me.
What'd Joe do with you?
He started with me. I'm online. He's like, Marlon Wayans is not funny. I said, well, hold on.
For no reason?
What? Well, not a nigga with one song gonna talk to me. I know Woomp Dead is. Didn't say something to me. Oh, let me get me and Right Said Fred on the fucking phone. And so we went at it, man. We went at it. But that was then. You know, now I'm over. We all grown. And I'm proud of everybody doing their thing, making their money. People don't need to see us fight. Right. People need to see us fight, and people need to see us heal and make up, because I think black people, we need to learn to move differently. Let's stop holding these grudges, start building bridges, and stop burning them, keep them burnt. We burn down our bridges, and that's what fucks our community up. We have a bunch of great people to support each other. We need to talk more, we need to heal more, and we need to do more business together.
It's time. All right. One of my favorite things to watch is you and Omar Epps' relationship. Man.
Oh, that's my brother. We writing something special right now.
When y'all did that Daily Show together, I was like, man, I don't know if people saw that interview in particular. It was something special about that conversation between y'all on the Daily Show.
Because that's
super special.
That's my brother. I love that man to death. And you know, we still, like uncles to each other's kids. And you know, today we writing projects together. And you know, I'm just so proud of him. And you know, what's funny is they don't know how funny Omar is. People don't know Omar Epps, he's fucking funny. Like, he did stand up one day in my house, and he was so funny.
In your house?
It was quarantine, and we just had like 40 people over. We wasn't really quarantined.
You told me one time I couldn't sell out a living room.
Oh, wow.
You like, you couldn't sell out your living room.
But I was wrong. Now look at you. Now come to your show. How about that? I'll come to your podcast. I will. Did you do the Daily Show to go?
Yeah, I did it last week.
He had fun?
I had a good time. It was a good time. Felt like playing with the Warriors.
Aren't they great?
Yeah.
Like, that system works. It's like, all you got to do is spot up, shoot, bow.
That's right.
That's right. All right, good. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yes,
I had a great time doing it. But Omar, great dude. He's funny. And what the people don't really know about me is I have a really dramatic side. Like, I'm a really strong dramatic actor. And so one day, we're going to do a comedy with drama in it together, and that's what we're writing right now. It's going to be beautiful.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
Salute to Omar. Well, we appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate you. All good.
Marlon Wayans, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances.
whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.